Okay, once again, we find out that the recording works better if you plug the microphone in. Good morning, children. I know there was no podcast yesterday. The great one is hot and fucking heavy. This weekend, anyway, we'll see. We'll see if I'm going to get anything done. Doing a big push to get shit moved out of the pad and all that other shit. Anyhow. We're already digressing, and I don't have time for this. So I gotta knock this out and go do shit. All right, I got notes somewhere. Number one, we're gonna pick on Aaron Cleary a little bit more. All right, so I'm binging on Older Brother podcast because I'm trying to get caught up on that. And right now, I am listening to Older Brother podcast number 41. If I remember, I will put the link to it in the show notes. Now, I just did a podcast where I disagreed with Aaron Cleary about women going into STEM, and I talked about why. Okay, Aaron starts this podcast off. What? Hold on. Never mind. I was getting distracted by the internet because I have LinkedIn turned on right now because we got to make fun of somebody in a minute. We're going to talk about why women shouldn't be in the workplace. There is kind of an overarching theme to this episode. I didn't really think of it as I was scribbling down notes about what I wanted to talk about today. But the overarching theme is that women shouldn't have jobs. All right. Older Brother Podcast 41, Aaron starts off reading this bit about it's a seminar for women in tech, and they're going to, you know, meditate and talk about leadership and drink coffee. And it, my God, it's brilliant. I'm considering going and finding this source material and making fun of it myself, but I don't really need to because Aaron is doing such a good job of destroying this, okay? I'm only 25 minutes in. And see, here's the thing. Here's where Cappy and I disagree with each other, because we know Cappy thinks women should have jobs and go into STEM and all this other stuff. And right now, Cappy's doing this thing. Well, I know these three women in tech and they're really good. Look, people, I get it. There are some women who are good at technology. Bravo for them. Once again, this is, now we're going back to my major, my major criticism of Aaron Cleary in the previous podcast where I talked about this is that Aaron will give advice to people, which is very beneficial to them individually, but is destructive to society. And this is doubly, triply, quadruply hilarious because I'm an anarchist. Remember, anarchists are supposed to be selfish and hedonistic, and why we would just kill people for the fun of it, and we'd burn down buildings and rape women, and we have no morals, and we don't care about anyone but ourselves. And yet, I'm the one who's pointing out that no, sometimes you actually have to put the good of society ahead of the good of individual people so that you can have a fucking functional society to live in. I don't know how I, the anarchist, end up making this argument. And then, of course, Aaron Cleary is all about, well, we have to have taxation so that there's a government, so that the government can maintain society, while at the same time, Aaron advocates things that are destructive to society. So I find it baffling, but then again, you know, maybe I'm stupid. Maybe so. Anyway, so Aaron's making this argument that there's these three women he knows that are good at tech. Okay, look, great. Here's the great one's counterpoint, which he will defend to the end. For every one woman in tech who's really good at it, there's what? For every one woman in a technology, not just good at tech, okay, for every one woman, because not all women are like that, for every one woman who has a job, it could be tech, whatever it is, doesn't matter. For every one woman who has a job and she's really good at her job, right? I know this woman also. I've talked about her. She works at the one local theater, right? I have praised her. I've talked. She's fantastic. She's wonderful. She's great. I love working with her. I love working for her. I frequently consult her for advice and input. Wonderful. That's great. There's one woman here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. She has a job and she fucking kicks ass and she takes names. And I can't say enough good things about her. I know 100 women who shouldn't be in the fucking workplace. We're going to talk about some of them in a minute. Aaron's position, and I don't want to say Aaron's making this argument because he isn't necessarily making exactly this argument, but this is my extrapolation from his stated position, is that letting women into the workplace is beneficial because some of them, because 1 out of 100 is good in the workplace. And thus, women should be allowed to have jobs. The great one's position is that women should not be allowed in the workplace because while one woman is really good at her job, there's 99 who are not. And these 99 women are doing more damage to the economy, society, GDP. These women, the 99 women, do more damage to the work. I mean, who do you think brought in? Do you think it's a coincidence that all the SJWing and the speech codes at work and the gay pride at work and the fucking leadership retreats at work? Do you think it's a coincidence that all of this stuff happened at the same time women started coming into the workplace? All the time wasted in the workplace at diversity training and sensitivity training and sexual harassment training. None of that happened until women showed up there. Do you think that's a coincidence? Okay. So my argument is the damage done to society, to the workplace, to the profit, to the GDP, to the final product. Right, once again, we read the book about Steve Jobs, about the making of the iPhone. The first iPhone was fucking amazing and revolutionary because there's only one woman involved in the entire process. And now the iPhone becomes shittier and shittier and shittier. Why? Because of affirmative action hiring. Okay, my argument is the damage done by the 99 women in the workplace does not balance out the good done by the one woman. It's that fucking simple. This is to do an analogy. Everyone goes, you're a great one. You can't argue by analogy. And which came first, the chicken or the egg? Yes, we can. It's a fucking analogy. We know it's not perfect. Shut up. I've used this analogy before. So if I go out and I rape 100 women and then they're forced to have those children, one of those children might grow up to be the doctor who cures cancer. So therefore, using this reasoning, I should be out there raping women because one of my children might cure cancer and it would be a-okay. But it's not, because it fucks things up for everybody. It fucks up society. It's the same thing with women in the workplace. Yeah, sure, there's these 3 women who are really fucking awesome at their jobs, okay? And there's 300 who aren't. There's 300 that are causing problems. There's 300 that are slowing down productivity. There's 300 that are making, and once, just be clear, not saying that every man in the workplace is fucking perfect and that if the workplace is only men, that you're going to have perfection. There's a whole bunch of men who shouldn't have jobs either, right? But it's ridiculous. It's just, anyhow, go listen to Older Brother podcast number 41. Cappy is making the argument against women having jobs far better than I can make it. it's hilarious. It's absolutely fucking hilarious. And he's ripping it apart with his usual flair and style. It is so funny. Oh, God. Speaking of Cappy, because I've been binging on him, Cappy has a lot of anger. And I mean, in this series of podcasts, not right this minute. And it's just funny to me because I'm blanking out. He called a place that was called an arcade game repair because he wanted to get an arcade game repaired. And they're like, well, we don't repair arcade games. And he's like, well, what the fuck? And then Cappy talks about how he went to a coffee shop / bakery, but it wasn't a bakery because there were no baked goods available and they didn't serve breakfast until 10 or 11 a.m. Right? And he's just like, what the fuck is going on with all the stupid people? And I'm listening to this, and this just reminds me of how I have said before and will say again. Guys, listen. And this is right up there with enjoying the decline. Because see, here's Cappy's thing. Cappy has expectations for other people. And as I've said before, having expectations for other people is an appointment with disappointment. And I'm talking about this because I think this is part of enjoying the decline. I don't think you can enjoy the decline if you go through life having expectations for other people, because you're always, almost always going to get disappointed. Like, okay, if I walk into if I walk into a grocery store, I have no expectation that they're going to have the product I want. Not only that, I have no expectation at all that there will even be groceries there. You say, well, great one. Why would you go to a grocery store if you don't expect there to be groceries? I go to a grocery store because I think it's slightly more statistically likely they'll have groceries than a place that says it's a hardware store. But I don't walk in there with a fucking expectation of them having groceries. Okay, so like, for example, if I saw a place that says arcade game repair, see, Cappy makes the mistake of having the expectation that this place would actually repair arcade games. I don't know why you would do that. I would have no expectation of that whatsoever because people are stupid. And people are failures. And people, I don't even know what words to use. They're just people. Like, stop having expectations for other people. I have zero. I go to the liquor store. I have no expectation they're going to have Plymouth Gin. When I go to a bar, I have no expectation they are going to have Plymouth Gin. But when we are down in the, what do you call, the French Quarter in New Orleans with Adam Piggott and Aaron Cleary, we went in the fucking bar that Adam took us to, which was very nice and ritzy, and except for when the fucking middle-aged women showed up and started cackling. And I had no expectation they would have Plymouth Gin, but they did. And see, this is the thing. This is the important part. See, so Cappy is all frustrated that the bakery didn't have baked goods and the arcade repair game place didn't repair arcade games. And so he's frustrated. And I get it, but here's the thing. See, when you walk through life enjoying the decline with no expectations at all, when nobody meets the expectations you don't have, see, it doesn't make you upset. But then when somebody does have something you want, like when you go, if I go into a bar not expecting Plymouth Gin and they're like, yeah, we've never heard of Plymouth Gin, I'm like, yeah, it's fine, you know. But when they do have Plymouth Gin, then I'm like, oh, I'm so happy. Like, just a smile comes on my face. I'm like, oh my God, look, wait, this grocery store has groceries in it. Holy shit, I'm so happy. And I know many of you think, great one, you're not ever, all you do is scream at the internet, you're not happy, you're just filled with hatred and bitterness. No, 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 once again, when I'm not doing the podcast, I'm pretty fucking happy. Because I am enjoying the decline, because I've accepted that there's nothing I can do about it, and I'm not waiting for God to save me, I haven't been God-pilled. I don't need you to smash a like button, I'm just very happy, because it's the decline, I'm enjoying it the best I can, I have no expectations of anyone. Because it's just going to lead to disappointment. It's just going to lead to failure. Now, speaking of disappointment and failure, I got to tell this story before I forget it, because it's already been a week. I'm helping out a theater in a neighboring town. I go over there to help them out with this show that they're doing. It's a little one-off thingy. Doesn't matter. Here's the important parts. There's a girl there. And she's talking to another girl, and somehow or another she launches into, oh, she's talking about how she's on salary and she works so many hours of unpaid overtime. Now, the entire time she's talking about how much she works overtime, even though it's not right because she's on salary, she works more than 40 hours a week. The time that I was there, she spent about 2 hours standing around gossiping with another girl. So there's the first indicator as to why you're working so many hours. So then she's launching into capitalism and how capitalism is unethical and how in capitalism there's no such thing as ethical consumption and how we need communism and anarchy. That's a direct quote, because the other girl says to her, well, what would your solution be? And she says, well, it would be communism and anarchy. Once again, illustrating that you people don't know what the fuck anarchy is. And let's be honest, you don't really know what the fuck communism is either. You just know that you are lazy. Now, you might be saying, great one. This girl and this other girl who are standing, and the other woman, girl, whatever, was agreeing with her about there is no ethical consumption in capitalism and yada, 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 you know, the working class is abused and all the other horse shit. It's 8 o'clock. All right, I got to get going soon. Now, the first thing you're going to say is, well, great one. These chicks. I didn't look the other one up. What was her name? Fuck. Hang on. Let me see if I can find this. No. Damn it. I was hoping to find her LinkedIn profile. So the first thing you're saying to me is, great one. Are these two women who are obviously communist, obviously lazy, you know, obviously liberals, obviously vote Democrat, are either of them attractive? What do you think? And you're saying, well, great one. Okay. But are they at least thin? What do you think? The one has like the rolls of fat coming over her pants. They're ugly. They're fat. They're leftist. Now, the one in question, she was in charge of the performer. And the performer hasn't showed up yet at the time the performer's supposed to show up. Who, incidentally, because we're on a theme here, women in the workplace, the performer, take a wild guess what gender the performer was who didn't show up on time. Oh, God, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. So I said unto the fat communist girl, I said, well, should you give the performer a call and find out what's going on? Maybe this person's lost. I mean, it happens when you're a traveling performer. This was a traveling show coming through town. You know, you're a traveling performer. Sometimes you go to the wrong fucking place. So I'm like, okay, you're here to interface, right? Your job that you're complaining about how many hours you work as you stand here gossiping instead of working because women should be in the workplace, apparently, because it has no negative effect on GDP. You're in charge of the performer, getting the performer here. Why don't you call the performer on the telephone and find out what's up? And she looks me dead in the eye with her fat cow-like eyes and her drooping jowls and her fat ass. She looks me dead in the eye and she says, I don't have a phone. Now, of all the things you've heard in your life that were a little bit questionable, you thought to yourself, ah, that could be fake news. This might be made up. This might not be true. A 30-year-old wall-hitting fat feminist tells you she doesn't have a phone. Now, do you believe that? Because I don't believe that. Somehow or another, however, she does have a job. Thank you, affirmative action. Now we're standing inside a building, and right over there, I can see it from where I'm standing, is this thing called a telephone sitting on the desk. Like, there's a landline right over there. Well, I don't have the performer's number. Okay, so you're in charge of making sure the performer shows up on time, but you don't have the performer's phone number. So I'm like, well, actually you do, because I pull out this thing called a show sheet that has information, and right there is the phone number for the performer's agent. I'm like, here's the phone number. And she looks at me like I'm the stupidest fucking person who's ever lived. And at this point, God bless her, another woman whose job is not to do any of this walks up and says, give me that, I'll do it. So yes, some women can do their fucking jobs. But once again, does the woman who can't, do the two fat women standing around gossiping about how much they hate communism, or hate capitalism, does that balance out with the one woman who can do her job? Ooh, college girl, by the way. Ooh, nice. God, yesterday, I don't know what the fuck happened yesterday. There were hot chicks. Oh my God, I saw 3 8s and a 9. Whew. Holy shit. And I just lost my train of thought just thinking about them. Fuck. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So the one woman just takes the piece of paper and goes over to the phone and makes the fucking call, even though it's not her job. Once again, so we got two women standing there gossiping about how much they hate capitalism, and one woman actually doing some fucking work. Some women are beneficial to the workplace. Women as a whole are not. So anyhow, the woman whose job it is not to call the artist and find out where the fuck they are, she is, does it. The artist eventually shows up. The artist comes in. The artist is fat. The artist is so fucking fat that she's wearing a coat. The coat is buttoned. I don't know, why is she wearing a coat? Great one, isn't it? Summer? Dude, it's not my job to dress people, okay? Unless they're fashion models. Then I undress them. Ah! She's wearing a coat. The coat is buttoned over her breast, but her gut is sticking so far out that the coat will not button around it. So the coat comes down and goes around her stomach. And she was 30 minutes late. So there you go. You got one woman who can do her job, and you got three women who can't. Is it worth it? This is a serious question. I want you to think about this. Once again, let's emphasize, I'm not saying that men in the workplace are perfect and that every man should have a job either. But when you look at the small number of women who contribute to the workplace in a positive way, contribute to GDP, contribute to the bottom line, contribute to the profit, versus the large number of women who spend their time at work fucking off, gossiping, backstabbing, pushing for more diversity training, waving around gay pride flags. When you compare those things, do you really think the net benefits outweigh the net detriments? I'm going to say they don't. Oh, God, I was just about to end it. I almost forgot. Okay, so our communist anarchist check. Okay, here we go. What do you think? What do you think? Look, ooh, she's been an op-ed writer and a community manager. Community manager. Wait, hold on. What do you do? Ooh, community manager. She illustrated marketing materials. All right. Oh my God. Wait, what is this? All right, what do you think? Holy shit, how many years of college does this chick have? 2004 to 2011. Oh, all right, it's not that much. I mean, comparatively speaking. Here we go. Oh my God, she... climate change? Of course she believes. Oh, God. All right. So she has two diplomas. She has a master's and whatever this is. what would this be? Her under, I guess, undergraduate and then her master's. Okay. Her undergraduate? Take a wild guess. She's a double major. Double major. Political science and international studies. And her master's is in international politics. And what's she doing with those things? She's working at a theater on salary, putting in more than 40 hours a week as a artist relations manager who doesn't have a phone and doesn't have the phone numbers of the artist she's supposed to be managing relations with, and she's standing around gossiping with other fat women about how much she hates capitalism and how unethical capitalism is. And this is why women shouldn't go to college and they shouldn't have jobs.